ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 12, we're doing verses 49 to 52. We're going to chant together verses 49 to 51, and 52 we will just do responsibly. The reason being, I thought verse 52 is the verse that Srila Prabhupada kind of took shelter of before he started reading the writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, so I thought that would be a nice verse to do it many times. So verse number 49 together. Mrisha girasa hyasatira sakatha nakathyate yad bhagavan bhoktaja tad eva satyam taduhaiva mangalam tadeva punyam bhagavad gunodayam. Words, translation and purport by his disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Words that do not describe the transcendental personality of Godhead but instead deal with the temporary matters are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually truthful and auspicious and pious. Purport. Sooner or later, all material literature and discussion must fail the test of time. On the other hand, the transcendental descriptions of the Supreme Lord can free us from the bondage of illusion and restore us to our eternal status as loving servants of the Lord. Although men who are like animals may criticize the glorification of the Absolute Truth, those who are civilized should go on vigorously propagating the transcendental glories of the Lord. Tad eva ramyam ruchiram navam navam tad eva shashvam manaso mahotsavam tad eva shokar navashoshanam nam yad uttama shloka yashonu giyate. Those words describing the glories of the all-famous personality of Godhead are attractive, relishable, and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival for the mind, and they dry up the ocean of misery. Nayat vachas chitra padam hare yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita kadhichit tadhangshatitham natu hamsa sevitam yatra chuta satra hi sadhavo malaha. Those words that do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows, and are never resorted to by those situated in transcendental knowledge. The pure and saintly devotees take interest only in topics glorifying the infallible Supreme Lord. Tad bhag visargo janataga samplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadhati vatyapi. Namani antasya yashonkitani yat Shinvanti Gayantri Grinanti Sadhava. Tad Vag Visargo Janataga Samplavo. Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abaddha Vatyapi. Namani Antasya Yashonkitaniya. Shinvanti Gayanti Ghirnanti Sadhava.
Shinvanti Gayanti Ghirnanti Sadhava.
Please chant.
Tad Vag
Vocabulary, Visarga, creation, Janata, of the people in general, Agha, of the sins, Samplava, a revolution, Yasmin, in which, Pratishlokam, each and every stanza, Abadhavati, it is irregularly composed, Api, although, Namani, the transcendental names, etc., Anantasya, of the unlimited Lord, Yasha, the glories, Ankitani, depicted, Yat, which, Shinvanti, to hear, Gayanti, to sing, Vrinanti, to do accept, Sadhava, the purified men who are honest. Translation. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, and so on, of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious life of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So this is the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sutta Goswami has at this stage summarized the Bhagavatam, and now he's just in the first, in the previous couple of verses, he talked about, Sridevi talked about how, when, whether falling, slipping, feeling pain, or sneezing, any tripping, anything, if somehow that even involuntarily one cries out, you know, obeisances to Lord Hari, he is free from sinful reactions. So he is talking about the glory of hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now in this verse, he just starts off describing words that do not describe, almost as somebody is asking, okay, you're telling us about words that do describe. What about words that do not describe? So Sutta Goswami is not being diplomatic at all. He's just going to tell us the truth. And what does he say? He uses the words mrsha. First word he says mrsha, false. And then he says asathir, which means untrue. And next adjective he used for those words is asatkatha, useless. So this is how he has described words that do not describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's very straightforward. And then he describes why, as if he's describing, I don't know Sutta Goswami's mind, but it's almost like as if he's describing, okay, this is the Supreme Personality of God, the words, they actually, this is what they do, is they relieve you from all sinful reactions. But what are the qualities? What are the qualities of the words that do describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He says, I'm going to go into the Sanskrit, he says, tad eva satyam. Tad eva, like nasti eva. You know, we heard nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva, emphasis. So he's saying, tad eva satyam. Only those words indeed are true. Words that describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are false. And only those words that describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead are satyam, are true. Then he says, tad uhaeva mangalam. He says, only those words are auspicious. Tad eva punyam. Only those words are pious. He could have said tad eva satyam, mangalam, punyam. No, he's making a point here. Only those words that describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead are satyam. Only those words are auspicious, and only those words are pious. He wants to let us know that this is what the truth is. But guess what? He is Sutta Goswami here, he is on fire. He doesn't stop here. Just like that kirtan that Nagarjuna Prabhu led, he was on fire, yeah? So here, Sutta Goswami is on fire. He doesn't stop there. The next verse he goes on and he says, again, tad eva. Again he says, tad eva, only those words indeed are ramyam, ruchiram, navam, navam. So ramyam means attractive. Ruchiram is translated as palatable, and navam navam means newer and newer. When you look at something from far away, attractive, you see something from far away and you think that it's very attractive. Like you look at, actually, the other day we had Maharaj, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, yeah. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj and Radhika Mahaprabhu of Prabhupadam. And I'm a very simple cook, so my cooking is very simple, but in my mind I consciously thought, I'm going to make prasadam, simple, but attractive looking. So what does that mean? I made sure there were a lot of different colors. So there's like a beetroot soup that is like bright, hot pink kind of color, and then I had green sabjis, and then the rice was like, it was had tomatoes, spinach, cashews, and raisins. So you can imagine all the colors. So I was very consciously thought, I'm going to make my prasadam is simple, but at least it could look attractive. So guess what? Krishna reciprocated with me because the first thing Radhika Raman Prabhu says, wow, this is very colorful, attractive. He hasn't tasted it, but it's attractive. I have to say, but later on when I tasted the rice, it didn't even have any salt. I forgot the salt. But it was attractive. It was attractive. Even I was attracted to that. But so, Ramyam is attractive. You look at it and it's attractive. For the next one, he says, Ruchiram is palatable. So I was thinking like, Mother Ruchira's rasgulla. You look at her rasgulla, you can look at it and it's so attractive. But then when you put it in your mouth, it's juicy. It's so palatable. But then he also says, we could look at it, something attractive. We could eat it could be palatable. But then after some time, you may eat it and you get tired of it, yeah? But no, here Sutta Goswami says that it's navam navam. You experience it and it's always newer and newer. You never get tired of eating rasgullas that Mother Ruchira makes or the laglus that Mother Akuti makes. You never get tired. Or I was thinking even Bhadra Prabhu leading the kirtan the other day. You never get tired of his kirtan. He leads the same old tune. He never changes the tune. It's the same old tune. He says every single year, he chants the same thing, and on Balaram's, Radharani's appearance day, he sings the same old tune, but oh my God, you look forward to it. This is because he's chanting the holy name. It's not the tune, it's not that, it's the holy name, it's Navam Navam. It's newer and newer. But then Sutta Goswami says, Tad eva shashran manaso mahotsavam. Again, tad eva. Indeed, only those words that describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shashran manaso mahotsavam. Indeed, they are such words that are a perpetual festival for the mind. You know, when you hear something good or taste something good, you think about it. It's a natural thing. You think about it. And it's a festival. Whereas when you think about something said something bad to you, you keep on thinking about it, but is that a festival in your mind? No, it's a torture in your mind. But the holy name, the words that describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead are actually festival in the mind. Again, giving the example of Bhadra Prabhu's kirtan, you're so ecstatic in the kirtan, and then when you think, oh my God, I can't wait for Radhashmi kirtan. You're thinking about it, you're relishing it, you want to hear it again. You hear some nice class, you want to hear it again, you want to hear more and more. So this is what happens, is that it becomes a festival in the mind when you actually hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he says, again, tad eva. Indeed, only those words are what? Shokarnava shoshanam rinam. They dry up the ocean of misery. They dry up the ocean of misery. Yes, Radhikesh Prabhu? They dry up the ocean of misery. This is what happened. The words describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they dry up the ocean of misery. Then, he further goes ahead in the next verse. Again, he talks about words that do not describe. What about the words that do not describe the glories of the Lord? And he says, who are the people who get attracted to that? You don't want to hear that, do you? Because we might find ourselves in that kind of category. He says that it's a pilgrimage for crows. You've seen in India, I don't know, I haven't seen it here, but In India, you see the crows. And what do they do? What do the crows do?
They pick at garbage.
That's right, they pick at garbage. So if we are attracted to things that do not describe the glories of the Lord, Sutta Goswami is saying that we are like crows. But then he says, who is attracted? Who are those who are attracted to the glories of the Supreme Lord? And he says, they are swans. Swans can extract apparently milk out of a combination of milk and water. They can get the essence. And so those devotees, the pure and saintly devotees take interest only in topics glorifying the Supreme Lord. So if we find ourselves being attracted to devotional things, whether it's kirtan or whether it's actual prasadam, or we like to have the association of such transcendental personality, then it might be hard to digest that, but maybe there's some little amount of saintliness in us. We sometimes don't think that we have that, but maybe there might be some. Maybe we might find ourselves between the crows and the swans. But yes, if we are interested in such topics, then there is some little purity and saintliness in us. And then the next verse, this is the verse that I was saying that Srila Prabhupada took shelter of. This verse is written in the preface. He ends that. That even if there are any, let me read it again. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of transcendental glories, of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, and so on, of unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation. It's a different creation. They're words, but it's of a different creation. It's not the usual creation. Full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution. I like that. It brings about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. And just going word to word, it says prati shlokam. In other words, in every shloka, in each and every stanza, can you imagine there's a poetry, and in each and every stanza, there may be some irregularities in there. Still, those who are purified men or women, they delve into such transcendental literature. Now I'm going to give, I'm going to talk about an example of what Sutta Goswami is saying here. Because although we have been hearing the pastimes, but since he's saying that, I thought it would be nice to hear about a pastime that shows that how these words are attractive and so on and so forth. But I thought maybe before I do that, since we just heard, can anybody remember without, yeah, that verse is fine over there. Can anybody remember what are the qualities that describe the words? Sutta Goswami just kind of the different adjectives that he mentioned about the words that describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anybody remembers? Quite many. I can start off with, they are truthful. Other? Yes?
Palatable.
Very good. You're thinking about the Rasgulla, yeah? Yeah, okay. Any other one?
Attractive.
Very good. Another?
Brings a revelation
Yes, brings a revolution in the misdirected lives. Any other one?
Auspicious.
Auspicious, that's right, auspicious. Very good. Another? Pious. And then? Newer and newer. Yeah. Okay. So let's look into the pastime. Let's go to the bank of the Ganga. You know who we are talking about when we're going to the bank of Ganga? Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charitamrita is Bhagavatam, yeah? So let's go to the Ganga where Lord Chaitanya is sitting down with his students. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he describes a scene which is very attractive to the mind as you think about it. It's a full moon and the sun is setting and the sky is clear. I actually went and Googled that image of that. So attractive, so beautiful. And Lord Chaitanya is sitting there with a very graceful smile, and his eyes are glistening, his lips are red, he's sitting tall with his right foot on his left knee. He's tall, his hands reach up to his knees. And all around, they are his students. In that situation, a misdirected human being appears there. And we might find ourselves a little bit in that misdirected human being, and that's Keshava Kashmiri. Keshava Kashmiri, as we all know this pastime, was a very learned person, and he had the blessings of Mother Saraswati. And they say that he had all the scriptures on his tongue, just like Chan Govinda Prabhu. But big difference. Chan Govinda Prabhu, a gentle and devoted soul to Srila Prabhupada, he became like Chan Govinda Prabhu. But initially he was just like, he was misdirected. And he had defeated all the scholars around India. And so he was carrying this certificate that I've defeated everybody. And he came to Navadvip because Navadvip was like the Harvard of India where all great scholars were there. So now in the end he came there. And all the scholars there in Nadia, in Navadvip, were very scared because they thought, if he defeats us, then that's bad. I mean, we are well known, and if this Keshava Kashmiri defeats us, then we have no honor left. And so they thought, let's somehow get him to go to Nimai Pandit, and then let him see how things go, and at least we'll have a second chance. If Nimai doesn't defeat him, he defeats, then we have a second chance, and then we can do that. And if Nimai Pandit defeats him, then we are great. Only a little boy defeated him, so we are doing good. So our name will go up again, higher up. So somehow the Keshava Kashmiri came to the bank there, and when he looked at Nimai Pandit, he was actually very attracted to Nimai Pandit. You can imagine him sitting there and everything like that. So he was very attracted. And then Nimai Pandit, when he saw Keshava Kashmiri, he describes, Krishna Das Kaviraj describes that the Lord received him with adoration, But because Keshwar Kashmiri was very proud, he talked to the Lord very inconsiderately. That's very interesting because Prabhupada said he talked to the Lord very inconsiderately. But in the word to word, it describes, Prabhupada says, mane, within his mind. Within his mind, he avagya, disregard. Mane avagya kariya. He disregarded the Lord within his mind. It's so nice that Prabhupada, he kind of like, in his translation, kind of gives the purport. Because he wants us to know that not only that it was in his mind that he was being looking down upon the Lord, but it came out in his words as well. So that's why Prabhupada has so translated that way. Next verse, Prabhupada writes, I understand that you are a teacher of grammar. So he's saying that not in a respectful way. Again, Prabhupada has said that he talked him in that way. He put him down. He said, I understand you're a teacher of grammar and that your name is Nimai Pandit. People speak very highly of your teaching of beginner's grammar. I understand that you teach Kalapa Vyakaran. I've heard that your students are very expert in the word jaggery of this grammar. And this is, see how the Lord responds to him. It's very important for us to hear the interaction that goes on between Keshwar Kashmiri and the Lord. The Lord said, let me just read the Bengali. Prabhu kahe vyakarana porai abhimana kori shishyate na bhujayami bhujayite nari. The Lord said, yes, I am known as a teacher of grammar, but factually, I cannot impress my students with grammatical knowledge, nor can they understand me very well. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, since Keshwar Kashmiri was a little puffed up, the Lord increased his artificial pride by presenting himself as subordinate to him. Thus he flattered him as follows. My dear sirs, whereas you are a very learned scholar in all parts of scriptures and are very experienced in composing poetry, I'm only a boy, a new student, and nothing more. Therefore, I desire to hear your skill in composing poetry. We could hear this if you would mercifully describe the glory of Mother Ganges. So you see how the interaction is going on. He's just putting him down, and Lord Chaitanya is putting him up. He's already up, but he's putting him further up. To do what? To take care of his pride. Anyway, so so we know that he composed, Keshwar Kashmiri composed 100 verse like a blowing wind. And then after all that happened, then Lord Chaitanya said, could you tell me this particular verse, the faults and the whatever the, what are they called, alliterations or poetic qualities. So satisfied by Lord Chaitanya's statement, the Brahman explained the quoted verse. Then the Lord said, now kindly explain the special qualities and fault of this verse. The Brahman replied, there's not a tinge of fault in that verse. Rather, it has the good qualities of similes and alliteration. How dare you say that? That's my saying. The Lord said, my dear sir, I may say something to you if you will not become angry. So it's humility. I can imagine him saying, can I say something if you will not become angry? Can you explain the faults in this verse? So he said it with humility, but he was persistent that please tell us the faults in it. Then he's trying to make him feel better. There's no doubt that your poetry is full of ingenuity and certainly it has satisfied the Supreme Lord. yet, if we scrutinize and consider it, we can find both good qualities and faults. Now, therefore, let us carefully scrutinize this verse. The poet replied, yes, the verse you have recited is perfectly correct. You're an honored student of grammar. What do you know about literary embellishments? You cannot review this poetry because you do not know anything about it. Wow. Talking about pride. And then Lord Chaitanya, taking a humble position, he said, because I'm not on your level, I have asked you to teach me by explaining the faults and qualities in your poetry. So he says, therefore, I'm asking you, not that I know anything. Certainly, I have not studied the art of literary embellishment, but I have heard about it from higher circles. And thus, I can review this verse and find in it many faults and many good qualities. The poet said, all right, let me see what qualities and faults you have found. The Lord said, again, so much humility, he said, let me speak and please hear me without becoming angry. So his humility is so much, even though Keshav Kashmiri is being who he is. So he explains all the different things about the poem and how they were false. And then Lord Chaitanya says, although there are five literary ornaments decorating this verse, listen to this, what he said to him. Although there are five literary ornaments decorating this verse, the entire verse has been spoiled by these five most faulty presentations. If there are 10 literary ornaments in a verse, but even one faulty expression, the entire verse is nullified. So, Lord Chaitanya was humble. In a humble state of mind, he expressed what it was, but then he gave it as it is. Then he doesn't stop there. He says, I have simply discussed the five gross faults and five literary embellishments of this verse. But if we consider it in fine detail, we'll find unlimited faults. Wow. Talking about crushing someone's pride. Unlimited faults. Then he says, you have achieved poetic imagination and ingenuity by the grace of your worshipful demigod. But poetry not well reviewed is certainly subject to criticism. Poetic skill used with due consideration is very pure, and with metaphors and analogies it is dazzling. And then what happens to Keshava Kashmiri? He says, after hearing the explanation of Lord Chaitanya, the champion poet, struck with wonder, his cleverness stunned, could not say anything. So he could not say anything. That was his situation. Lord Chaitanya later says, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, when he heard this judgment from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pandit sorrowfully wondered why Mother Saraswati wanted to defeat him through a small boy. But prior to that, actually, Lord Chaitanya replied in a humorous way. He said, Keshava Kashmiri said, I'm surprised you're not a literary student and do not have long experience in studying the Shastras. How have you been able to explain all these critical points? And then Lord Chaitanya knew Keshava Kashmiri's heart, so he replied in a humorous way, again making him feel better. He says, my dear sir, I don't know what is good composition and what is bad, but whatever I have spoken must be understood to have been spoken by Mother Saraswati. So again, Lord Chaitanya didn't say that I know. He said, I don't know anything. And Mother Saraswati, who has given you your knowledge, she has given me this knowledge, and therefore I'm said what I said. And so we know the end of the story is that Lord Kishwar Kashmiri goes back home, and then he prays to Mother Saraswati, who comes in the dream and tells him that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This pastime is attractive. We hear about it. We can hear about it again and again. How many times have we heard this pastime? Every time we hear this pastime, I know, I read this pastime preparing for the class. I read this pastime many times, and every time actually I read it, I found something new. I thought, oh, did I read this? I don't remember reading that. And in those little words, those details that we see different words that Krishnadas Kaviraja used, how Prabhupada translates them, they're so relishable. But besides being relishable, the very last verse that describes that it brings about a revolution in the impious life of the world's misdirected civilization. So here Keshwar Kashmiri was. He was somebody who was misdirected. Yes, he thought that the world's, the thing to do is, the goal is to become the champion of the entire world in scriptures. That was his idea of what is success. But Lord Chaitanya was so carefully dealt with him, so carefully he dealt with him, that he was able to keep his honor and yet crush his pride. I don't know if it's described in the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat, or in the, on the CC, but Lord Chaitanya, very in his mind, he thought that, okay, this pundit is here, how can I do so that I can crush his pride but keep his honor? And therefore he did it in a private situation. And private, in other words, all the other scholars were not there, just the students were there. The young students. Lord Chaitanya himself was described like a boy. He was a young teacher, and he had younger students. So he kept his honor by doing it in front of them and not others. And even when he was defeated, Keshwar Kashmiri was defeated, the students started laughing, and then Lord Chaitanya stopped them. No, don't laugh. He wanted to keep his honor. He did not want his honor in any way to be crushed, but just his false pride. So when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear CC, when we hear the glorification of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, just like Lord Chaitanya took care of Keshwar Kashmiri, he in the same way takes care of us, as he in the same way very carefully crushes our pride and keeping our honor. This is Lord Chaitanya, this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, this is Srila Prabhupada, this is how the great Vaishnavas, they deal with us so that we can actually become purified, and we can become like those crows, not become like the crows, we can become like the swans, and from the crows to become like swans, and actually relish the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you very much for your kind attention. If you have any questions, I'm here to hear your comments, questions. Yes, Dhamraj Prabhu.
You're mentioning that every time you read a pastime, you're finding something new, and you're surprised. So Srila Prabhupada even said he was surprised when he read his own purports, and he's the one who wrote them. So it's not surprising if others find something surprising.
Thank you.
You were talking about how, Lord Chaitanya was pushing up Keshwar Kashmir, like pushing his pride. So I see that this is one practice that devotees have with other devotees. We always glorify them for something, what they do. So what is that mentality? Is actually pushing their pride, or is it that we glorify them for service, and that's help us in our spiritual life, or what should be that mentality when devotees do similar things?
Well, the person who is glorifying is expressing their affection. We grow in our spiritual life through the affection of the Vaishnavas. And so when they're expressing that affection, we should appreciate that affection that they're giving to us. And that will help us, encourage us. And when there is a glorification, we understand that we don't have anything of our own, and whatever glorification they're saying, we accept it, understanding that this is the mercy of the Vaishnavas, that whatever I have done or whatever qualities I have is actually due to the affection, mercy of all the Vaishnavas. And so there's nothing that for us to take in that sense. We came with nothing and we go with nothing. So that we have nothing. When we came into this world, we didn't even know how to speak. We didn't know even how to walk. Forget about anything else. But as we grow, we get affection from all people, and when we come as devotees, then we get affection from all the Vaishnavas. And that's what it is. So it's humbling to us when somebody says something to us. But we should appreciate it's like a mother giving affection. We don't think, oh, mother is saying, oh, she's praising me because she wants something, or whether, no, she's giving us affection. That's one way to see. I'm sure there are many other ways to see when somebody is glorifying. Maybe you can tell us now some other ways to see when somebody is glorifying. Yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu?
You're forcing me now.
Yes, yes. So, normally, generally, when people have questions, they have answers too.
Yes, so, like, the way I see it, it's like on a totally different level. Unlike the case of Lord Chaitanya and Keshava Kashmir, with devotees' reciprocation, of course, in Lord Chaitanya, that was a transcendental level, but we can say here, with devotees' reciprocation is on the transcendental of the transcendental level. So, of glorifying other devotees is what purifies our hearts to take away envy. So that's one of the best way to get rid of envy, by seeing the good qualities of others. So not that we're doing it for us, you know, but it's in reciprocation to both parties.
Thank you.
Us, yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Pran Govinda Prabhu.
I was thinking the pastime of Keshava Kashmiri that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Navadvip Dhammata. During their conversation, he did not remember that he is actually a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, there was a Brahmana in Billa Pukur, or Bell Pukur we call, in Mayapur, Navadvip, who was worshipping to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva appeared and guided him to go to this place to meditate on four Kumaras. He was initiated by four Kumaras, and then he, through the mantra, he had darshan of Radha Krishna, and then they said, oh, we are coming as Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beauty enchanted him so much. He said, Prabhu, let me serve you. He said, yes, you will serve me when I appear. I will become very scholar, and then you will conquer the world, and then you will be defeated by me. So then I was thinking many times that...
I never heard of that story, but thank you.
This is in Navadvip Dhammata,
thank you.
If anybody is interested. So I was thinking, like, how Keshava Kashmiri tasting this, that he pleased actually Lord Chaitanya by challenging him and then got defeated. It's a very, there's a rasa, but there's a, like a very unique rasa that eternally he probably tasting it. Oh, I wish you would defeat me again and again. So I was like, it's a very nectarian, you know, very nectarian.
It's like a, what you call, Kolavichar.
Sridhar.
Sridhar. The whole bargaining that goes on between.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the end. At the end, in the Sapta Prakash, mm-hmm. when Mahaprabhu called him, and then he finally realized he was a Madhumangal. And then he realized this is his Ishtadev Krishna. Yes.
Uh-huh.
This is his Ishtadev Sri Krishna. Uh-huh. Then he asked him, what would you like? Uh-huh. Oh, I like that Brahman boy who would come and bargain with me. Uh-huh. I thought he didn't like it. Now he loves it. So it's like a very, but that's a, I guess materially I cannot understand how that is so relishable. But spiritually, he asked for that, yeah. that he didn't like it. It's a similar probably, I don't know, whether yeah. when you meet or we meet to Keshav Kashmini, maybe we'll ask him, how does it taste?
Yeah, it's all about rasa.
Yes, it is.
Rasalayam, yeah? Nigama kalpataro galitam
kalitam. I was thinking in the translation, it says, though it may be imperfectly composed, so to look at another angle also, I was thinking like, that when Mahaprabhu was, I mean, Nimai Pandit was conquering in Navadvip everybody, defeating everybody. And Ishwarapuri, he was visiting. They're not initiated yet. But he composed this Krishna Lilamrita, the famous book, nobody knows where it is. I heard in the many devotees asked for it. And he asked Nimai Pandit to do the editing. And he took the book and he brought it back. And then he says, because there's a critical topics in those verses, that's how I remember in after even few decades. He says, Ihate je dos dekhe tar sei dos, bhaktir varnana matra Krishna rasantos. I don't need to edit anything. Then Ishwarpuri said, why? You are a big scholar. Why you could not find something wrong so that when in future, somebody reads, they will not feel disturbed. Then Mahaprabhu gave the conclusion, no, you are a great devotee. Devotee, everything they speak, whether it's a proper or not proper, grammatically corrected or not corrected, it is only for the pleasure of Krishna. Then Ishwarpuri said, what if they will feel disturbed? He said, no, that is the fault in them, not in the composer. That's where this Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur writes that since time immemorial, the devotee's heart commune with the divine hearts through this writing, through their. Sometimes the language does not express, so there may be fault. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada also put in Prahlad Maharaj's case, Gadgadaya Bacha, something out, something in. So people may not say, like that.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Any of the ladies? Any of the ladies would have any question or comment? Nothing to say?
Except for appreciation.
Okay, well, no question or comment. Okay, well, thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Thank you.